Hi, I'm Lauren Klass-Schneider with Class Notes for Broadway Radio. I'm here with Carson Elrod, a cast member from The Liar, adapted by David Ives. Well, hello, Carson. Welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Sure. Okay, for what we know about the play, originally performed in 1644, what were your thoughts when you first read David Ives' adaptation?
Well, I went into audition for it in 2010.
Oh.
So I went in and auditioned for the original one, and the original one had, I remember right away that the prologue had these hilarious admonitions to the audience. I remember specifically back in 2010 that my character gives this prologue, and he spots a woman eating in the audience, and he says, "No eating, please. Yes, you in row F. Yes, you, the woman with the chicken Kiev." And I just, when I read that, I just started like laughing. I could not handle it. Mm. And then I went in and I auditioned, and I got the role, but because of another professional engagement that was like 25 weeks long that was going to give me my health insurance in one shot, I ended up not doing it in 2010. But then I started working with David on these adaptations and other things with him. The very next year, I did The Heir Apparent with him. I did his revival of All in the Timing. Then I did an evening of one acts called Lives of the Saints. And then finally, when this came to New York, everything worked out scheduling-wise. And so a date that we kind of put together back in 2010 finally got consummated here in 2017.
Mm.
And, so that's a long answer to just saying the first time that I experienced the play was 7 years ago, and I thought it was hilarious and wonderful and amazing then. And it's such a pleasure to revisit it now.
Well, it also sounds like you're a bit of David's muse or one of his muses as...
Well, I wouldn't, you know, what I would say is I would say that I have a particular love for him and his work, and I really enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. And I feel very blessed and lucky that, you know, David tends to like his work when I do it. But one of the things that David says that is so generous and amazing is, you know, David says playwrights are in service of actors, and I try to write plays that I think would be fun for actors to do. And I think that's a really generous, amazing impulse for a playwright to come from. And so, you know, you're always in great hands with David Ives because you know that you're working with a writer who just wrote something that he wants you to have fun doing. And I definitely have fun when I work on a David Ives piece.
Well, Carson, thank you for sharing that. Now, you mentioned the prologue, and of course that was the first bit of material that you read because it was the first part of the play.
Right.
Will you share a little bit of that? Are you do that?
Yes, and just so you know, you saw the play a week ago. It has changed.
Mm.
So, we are in previews, and we're in process, and David, like many authors, isn't really done with a piece. You know, they keep revisiting it, they keep reworking it, they keep doing stuff. So what you may hear a little bit of what I'm about to do, maybe slightly different than what you heard. Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames, messieurs, all cell phones off, all cellophane secure. Please note, for an emergency, the exit. All right, we're set. We've stowed our snacks, we've peed, we've sexted. A deep breath now, everyone. Release all strain, and with those gadgets, please, turn off your brain. Leave emergencies to this evening's hero, a lying genius, if a moral zero, along those lines.
And because of the radio format, I am here stifling my laughter, wanting to be sure that we don't miss any of those words and how you bring them to life. So this is a post-laugh, and it's just impossible not to. Thank you for sharing.
Well, I appreciate
that.
As an actor, I will take a laugh whenever it, however it comes.
It's extraordinary to see how you play so amazingly to the audience directly without any other actors on stage. The show is so filled with great banter. Do you have a favorite bit of dialogue with a particular character?
Well, one of the things I really enjoy is I enjoy the way that, you know, the whole play is written in rhyming iambic pentameter. And for, you know, David to have done that, I can't imagine how long it took for him to do that. But one of the things that he does, that Shakespeare does as well, so beautifully, is within one iambic line, he might throw dialogue back and forth between two or even three characters. So, you know, there will be exchanges where it's like, do you know her? Yes, I know her. Lucrece. Of course. Who? Lucrece. Clarice? No, Lucrece. Clarice. You know, and it'll go back and forth between characters like that. And when that happens, I get so delighted. I get so excited. I start, like, you know, bouncing up and down inside myself just to to watch two or three actors basically having to play, you know, badminton with David Ives' shuttlecock. I think he will really enjoy that I just said that.
No doubt. No doubt. Was any of the language very difficult to learn? And if so, why? And, like, maybe share some of that.
Well, you know, one of the great things about, you know, learning a David Ives piece, especially a David Ives French farce, is the whole thing is in rhyming couplets. So you know you're off track if you say a couple lines and they don't rhyme. You know, as you're memorizing, you know, and you know that secret everybody asks actors, you know, like, how do you learn all those lines? It's like, for me, it's usually walking around in a circle in my kitchen. And, you know, the script is out in front of me, and you start with the first line, and once you kind of feel like it's in there a little bit, you go to the second line, and you just kind of build from there. Mm-hmm. And with Ives, it's like, you know, if you're marching around in a circle in your kitchen with a beer or a tea, and you get to the end of a line, and it doesn't rhyme with the one you just said, you know you're probably you're missing something. So you go back. I mean, the good thing is it's so funny, and it makes so much sense that it kind of compartmentalized. The hard part as an actor is to, like, learn something that doesn't necessarily have a foundation in logic or something. Like, if you're going to memorize Lucky's speech from Waiting for Godot, when he comes out and just kind of does this stream of consciousness nonsense, you know, monologue for three pages, something like that is really, really difficult for an actor to put together. But with something like The Liar, it's just so you know, lovely, like, and the things that you say are so fun to say that it kind of goes into the head pretty easily.
Well, nice to hear that, because we can worry about you, and it's really interesting how that process works. So thank you for sharing that, and how it would be different for learning, like, the lucky monologue.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's like, you know, like, I just gave you a little bit of the updated prologue. I got that at 3:30 in the afternoon before a 7 p.m. curtain, and I put those six new lines in, you know, that night, you know. So it's one of those things where he, you know, it's really funny. Please note, for an emergency, the exit, we've stowed our snacks, we've peed, we've sexted. That's funny. I want to say that. Like, you know, my brain wants to know that forever. So it's like it goes in quickly.
Talk a little bit about, because the language alludes to it in such a strong way, and of course it's what so much of the production is about, the period aspect to it with so much contemporary language and reference. And how do you play with that as an actor, and where's your reality with all of that?
Well, I mean, I think that what David's doing in some ways is, you know, no matter what play that we're doing, I mean, with films, you can really, really do it. I mean, and some plays, too, is get that kind of photorealistic verisimilitude where it's like, we are taking you to the past. You know what I mean? We are thoroughly immersing you in gazillion-dollar costumes and sets and period, and, like, the way the characters move. We want you to be transported to another world. But what David is acknowledging is, like, the theater is inherently a live medium celebrating this kind of volcanic, never-ending now, right? The now that we are living in, like, that you and I are talking in. And so even when he does something like adapt French farce, he's a real celebrant of the moment, and the moment that we're living in, and the moment that we're sharing together on stage. You know, like, with my character, there is, as you noted, there is so much audience interaction, and there's more of that I'm building as we go along, where, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not just doing like little sideways glances to Kelly Hutchison. I do little sideways glances to people in the audience because I'm allowed to have that kind of relationship. And so what's fun is I think that everybody in the play is trying to, you know, behave in a way. We've got these, you know, unbelievable costumes that really are, you know, if you looked at a painting in the Met of, you know, what people in Paris would wear in 1643, we're doing that. But then, you know, Alexander Dodge's set is this, you know, kind of big blue jewel box abstract nod to both, you know, there's Liechtenstein references mm-hmm. in it, and there's, you know, little bits of like almost kind of LED or neon feel to it. So we've got the past, and that's Corneille and the play that was written in 1643, but we've also got Tonight and Us and Ives and his modern sensibility and our modern sensibility. So I guess in the playing of it, what's allowed and encouraged is, you know, I don't feel as if we need to, as a company, be 125% observant of, like, you know, every formal physical custom of 1643 France, because, you know, if we obeyed those, you know, probably the guy who plays the liar would never even really talk to the woman who he ends up falling in love with. It just wouldn't have been allowed the way that interaction takes place. So, right. You know, we take advantage of what's there. And I love it. Well, you know, but for me too, it's kind of great too, when you're playing a servant, you know, you are playing a low class character who has not been indoctrinated into all the formal customs of a particular time period anyway. It's kind of, you know, man in his natural state, as it were. And so I have a lot of permission to slump and slouch and hang out on stage, which is nice.
Indeed you do, and you take wonderful advantage of it. So I thank you, and I thank you for your time with us today. I'm Lauren Kleschneider with Carson Elrod from The Liar for Broadway Radio.